Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show, ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore. We're back for our 25th level, 33.1. I'm joined by three patrons of the level 33.1 level. We have Mr. Dallas Hernandez.
Hello.
Mr. Darren Kirsch.
Hey, how's it going?
And Mr. J.J. Hodges.
And then I say something.
Good. So Dallas, when are you going to start a podcast? Because these two other guys have podcasts. That's what happens when you...
It's funny you bring that up, because I am actually hoping to have it put together by a week from now. Week
and See, a half that, from now. That was a total... I didn't even know that. That's totally... Look at that.
I Serendipity. Know.
What's it going to be about? Plug away.
It's basically going to be two episodes a week, and there's going to be a news recap of just pop culture in general, basically leaning towards, you know, where we all lean to, a lot of nerdy stuff, but really just anything going on in the world of music, movie, television. And then so one deep dive episode with a guest a week, and then a news recap that's probably just going to be me solo once.
Okay. So. We will tag and rebroadcast as we always do.
I'm not giving the name out because I haven't made the Twitter pages and email account yet.
There we go. So we're going to keep that under wraps for now, and we're going to let it form. There you go. If you like hearing Dallas's hot takes, which, you know, it's been a while since you've been able to make it to the roundtable, so I was happy to have you back. And so if you guys listen back to the earlier ones, he's on there a lot with some fun, entertaining stuff. So looking forward to that. So good. Now everybody has a podcast. So very good. That's a new career.
Zach Moore coaching tree, right?
That's right. That's right. I'm the hoodie. I'm literally wearing a hoodie right now. So I'm the Bill Belichick of this whole thing. So hopefully you're all more successful than Bill O'Brien and all those other people that come out of the New England Patriots school. So, well, it's cool. Well, anyway, there's so much going on. Right. All the time in nerd culture. And, you know, some stuff it's frankly exhausting to discuss. And you can hear this stuff anywhere you go on the internet. And if you want to get in a fight with someone, you could just do that in 3 seconds by posting your opinion about something, about anything, really. So, you know what? Well, let's have a fun conversation about a few things, whatever might come to mind. We were talking a little bit off microphone about kind of the early days of superhero movies and how what kind of led us to where we are today. And I think, I wish Lance were here because he has a deep love for Ninja Turtles, the original Ninja Turtles movie. But it kind of started there, and we just started talking around. But do we all like the 1990 Ninja Turtles movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
It surprisingly holds up.
And really, that's a testament to the Jim Henson Muppets, well, whatever company designed the suits.
Yeah.
And when you put that many practical effects into anything, that's what makes it hold up. I think that's why certain films in the horror genre still hold up, you know, 30, 40 years later. It's because even though they might look a little cheesier, it was still, there was a practicality behind the effects. And it doesn't just look like cheap 2001 television CGI. Might be referencing a show we all know and love.
I was just gonna say,
how dare you?
Oh my god, man, right in front of Zach.
No, look, Smallville's had some bad effects as of this recording. You guys haven't heard it yet, but we did our Arrow season 4 crossover with me and Always on the Arrow. We went down all the episodes, and there is no effect in Smallville that is as bad as the CGI Oliver swimming away from a shark in Arrow season 4. That is,
oh wow,
that is the bottom of the barrel. I'm sure by now the Arrowverse has surpassed it in some level of awfulness as far as the special effects go, but that's horrible. Like, I just, it's literally, this is 2000, I think 16, you know, and it's like, come on. Like, I'm not saying you gotta have, you know, movie money, but just show a guy swimming. and she'll like a prop shark head. Anyway, practical effects always age better than CGI, right? That's
speaking of sharks, Jaws.
Jaws. Yeah,
he was just going back to 1975, and I felt it. I was like, we were there. I saw Stephen Amell swimming and the shark fin behind him, and I was like, we got it.
The tangent for a second. Did anyone think that he got bit by a shark on Arrow, like, before that? Like,
it didn't have to be a shark.
Like, fell into a bear trap or something. I don't know.
If that was the buildup, like, were you happy with the results? That's all I want to ask the producers. Like, you're just like, yeah, we did that. Isn't that cool? In season two, by season four, they're just like,
You did just need to see every scar he got. And then at some point, they're like, oh, crap, he's going to get bit by that shark. Said who? No one in the pod was like, well, I see here you got hit by a shark. Like, nobody said that anyway.
Yeah.
But yes, the original Ninja Turtles and Ninja Turtles 2 Secret of the Ooze have the similar costumes and puppetry and animatronics. Mm-hmm. And the third one is not much cheaper. And then if anyone is familiar with the coming out of their shells music videos, those are horrible. Those are like, yeah. The angry video game nerd James Rolfe had a whole like video about these, and I watched it. It was hilarious. I was not familiar with those, but like, they were on like Oprah. It's embarrassing. And it's funny how something in 1990 can look better than something like in 1998 or whenever those were doing. And then, of course, by the time Michael Bay movies came around, they were all CGI, and Alan Richardson, Reacher himself, was
Aquaman.
Aquaman. I believe he was Michelangelo in those. I haven't seen those yet.
No, he's Raphael.
He's like the main guy. Okay.
Who played Casey Jones in the second one of those?
I believe Stephen Justin Amell. Harley played Casey Jones. No,
Stephen Amell.
Stephen Amell, yeah. So hashtag it's all connected.
I ruined the joke. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, just talking over the facts. What kind of weird 6-degree separation is that, right? Because Alan Richardson played Aquaman on Smallville. Mm-hmm. When they had an Aquaman spinoff of Smallville, sort of, it was, they didn't cast in, they cast Justin Hartley.
Right.
And then when it came to do a Green Arrow spinoff, they pulled an Aquaman on Justin Hartley, and they didn't use him. They used Stephen Amell. So it really is all connected. Are there any other famous people other than the bank guy from The Dark Knight? I know William Fitcher is a famous actor and does other things, but like, he is like not Shredder in the first one. Right. Are there any other famous people that we would know who played the other turtles? Cause I still haven't seen those. They're not Michael Bay. Like, he produced them. I still haven't seen them.
Johnny Knoxville is the voice of Leonardo.
Are you serious?
I'm 100% serious. Yeah.
What?
I have no idea.
That's terrible. Wow. Oh man. And so I'm a little older than some of y'all. Darren and I think around the same age, right?
Now you're a little older than me.
Okay, I'm older. Okay, so it's like okay, so like, I remember the Ninja Turtles movies. Like, I guess you guys all watched them on like VHS and stuff, or
no? Like, Zach, you and I are around the same age.
Okay, I knew one of you guys was old like me. Okay, yeah. So Dallas, when did you first see the Ninja Turtles movies, the old ones?
It would have been, I don't know. I probably caught one on cable and then convinced my mother to rent them from Blockbuster.
Those are the VHS days.
It's like he tried to say the right buzzwords.
Yeah.
Right.
I called my mom on a regular phone.
I dialed it in. And then ordered Pizza Hut. Pizza. Exactly. Turtles and pizza. I don't know what it was, but that was the thing. So we're just having a fun open forum conversation about this. But that's coming off of Batman 89, right? And like, the next year that comes out, and then Dick Tracy comes out. And then, like, that's all kind of the same feel. I mean, Dick Tracy was not as successful, obviously, as either of those. Mm. I honestly don't know why. Like, they're all pretty much the same kind of thing, right? I mean,
they are, yeah, for sure.
Wasn't the Phantom kind of in that realm too?
The Phantom and the Shadow, almost. Yeah. And they were like, I believe both those were like 94.
Mid 90s, yeah. I never saw the Shadow. I have seen the Phantom. I love the Phantom.
You guys know I'm a huge Billy Zane fan. So
yeah.
why did they learn they're like, oh, Batman was popular. Let's not make other superhero movies. Let's find comic book strip characters from the 30s and make movies out of those. Like, you guys misunderstood the success, clearly, right?
Like, probably because it was cheaper than doing another
guy with
Superman.
A gun or Green Lantern. Let's do the guy with the gun in a car.
Exactly.
So, anyway, yes. That's but no, the Ninja Turtle movies is great. And really, I think there were a lot of movies from our childhood that we all have nostalgic attachment to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, well, and if you're going to watch them with someone, you're like, okay, now remember, I saw this when I was a kid. And right. But I think with Ninja Turtles, the first 1990 Ninja Turtles, that holds up perfectly well. You can show that to anyone anytime, and you don't have to feel like embarrassed by anything in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Not totally until agree. Vanilla Ice Ninja Rap comes around in Secret of the Ooze.
There you go.
Start that's feeling a little embarrassed.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's the barometer there. So.
Right.
No, I think it has classic storytelling elements, you know, the brothers and, you know, the complicated relationship with your father. It's that's like Shredder's whole thing and Splinter's whole thing. It's thematically really interesting. And it's like, I feel like I tried to say those words when I was, you know, 10 years old to my dad, and he just looked at me like, okay, well, they're still human sized turtles. It's like, if I could say this now, he'd probably look at me and go, okay, well, they're human sized turtles. But yeah.
Do you have a favorite turtle, Darren? Ninja Turtle?
I don't know if I do. I don't know if I do. I mean, to be honest, I haven't seen the sequels to that very, very first one, and I haven't seen that one for many years. But as a kid, I did enjoy it. Yes.
Well, you're probably best not seeing the sequels.
Okay.
The second one is the second one's okay. It's just very kidified. It's like,
yeah,
it's like the Matrix. I'm not the Matrix, but the
Matrix. Like, what?
The Matrix franchise.
They're all. What are you talking about?
There's that orgy scene in the cave in Ninja Turtles 2, and it really threw me off. No, it's
yeah.
Ghostbusters. It's like Ghostbusters. It's like the first Ghostbusters is, which we all forget because of the cartoons and stuff. Ghostbusters is a raunchy comedy from the people that brought you, you know, Stripes, things like that, right?
Yeah.
And Ghostbusters 2 is more like a kiddified version of that. And I still like Ghostbusters 2. People like, yeah. Like, I actually think that one's, you know, not as good, but up there with the first one. But I think it's that same flavor with like, oh, this was like a more grounded, like, movie the first time, and they kind of kiddified it. Because if you look in Secret of the Ooze, I don't think they use their weapons that often.
No.
Like, they never pull out the katanas or anything, or the you know, any kind of sharp weapons. They're like, oh no, kids might hurt themselves, right?
I think it was like the opening shot where like they jump in the frame. Like, they had their weapons out for that, and then the rest of the movie they don't use them.
Guys, come on, right? and they fight, obviously, like other mutants. Which names escape me. Not Bebop and Rocksteady. I think they're the Nuclear like, Man and Evil Superman of
the essentially, yes.
Like, guys, just use those in the comics. I forget, but it's a wolf and a snapping turtle, you know. So, and but they're like goofy. You mentioned freaking Jim Henson. Those are straight out of the Jim Henson Muppet Shop.
Yeah, it's right out of the Dark World. Toka and Rezar.
There it is. He pulled it back. so yeah, just you're good, Darren. Revisit that first one, Darren. So
I should avoid it on my podcast, right? I shouldn't cover it.
Oh no, actually you have to cover it now. Yeah. So go ahead. Ask one of these guys, because I to be on there with it.
You just had to bring that up, didn't you?
Yeah, I have to walk right into it.
Round two of film plug, that's it. But
yeah.
Plug. So I like the first Ninja Turtles movie, but once you get past that, it's like you know, and I just think they've been not that I'm like Mr. Practical Effects guy, even though I think I kinda am. It's like, just, I don't know, when I see a giant 9-foot CGI turtle like I've seen in the trailers for the new ones, because like I said, I haven't seen them. Mm-hmm. There's just something about like those guys in suits, and it's just more impressive too. Like, they're doing all these crazy martial arts stuff. Like, it's a guy in a suit. Like, that's really impressive to have, you know, instead of some kind of, and I know it's hard work for computer programmers to do that too. It's just, I don't know. I will always defer to practical effects whenever you can do them. And I think, you know, I saw a criticism of the new ones is like they kind of look like aliens.
Yeah. Well, that was the original plan for the Michael Bay ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great. And also, William Fisher was really going to be Shredder. Right. And the internet was like, hey, he's not white. It's 2014. What are you doing? Right.
Right.
And then J.J. Abrams said, hold my beer. I'm going to turn the most famous villain in Star Trek history, Khan Noonien Singh, and cast him as Benedict Cumberbatch. It's like you have. Anyway, that's all its own conversation. But it's like, why are we still doing this? Why is Bane white? Why is Tom, I mean, everybody loves Tom Hardy, but why is he white? If only there were some like Hispanic actors in the world they could cast, but I guess there's not.
I don't really like Tom Hardy.
Oh yeah. Mm.
Not even just as Bane. I mean,
but have you seen Venom 2? Let There Be Carnage. I mean, come on.
I have not seen Venom 2, but I did enjoy Venom 1.
Still hate that movie.
Those movies feel like they came out in 1992 or something.
They came out of somebody looking at the covers of the Venom comic books and going, I get it. Like, it just,
yeah.
Well, let's dive deeper into this though. That Dallas, explain to us your Tom Hardy thoughts. I mean, I know him best as Shinzon from Star Trek Nemesis before he was famous. But I mean, he's like everyone, when anyone casts any character, he's always like at the top of the list, right? That day. So he's like the white Idris Elba. He's always on everybody's exactly. Like, oh, we'll cast him as this.
That might be part of my problem with it too. It's not so much I dislike Tom Hardy. I dislike the let's put him in everything mentality. Because I just don't think he's that great. I don't know. Whenever I see someone fan cast him or Idris Elba or Jensen Ackles from Supernatural, he's another big one on the fan cast. I'm just like, it just seems like lack of originality in fan casting. I don't, not that fan casting means anything, but
yeah.
And I haven't seen it all. I did enjoy him in Fury Road.
Yeah.
So that was a great movie.
No, he was good in that. Didn't have that much to say. No. That's kind of his thing, right?
Well, that's indicative of what he's saying.
Yeah. Lots of grunting. And that was more Charlize Theron's movie than his, right? I will say The Revenant. Leonardo DiCaprio won an Oscar. I think Tom Hardy should have won an Oscar for that.
I totally forgot that movie.
Impressed by Tom Hardy performance. He's talking about how God is a squirrel or something. I just remember that monologue and I thought that was really good. So, but no, Leo ate that liver and finally got an Oscar like 15 years after he started acting finally. So we're all over the place here with this conversation, but it's fun. Leonardo DiCaprio should have won an Oscar for Django Unchained and he wasn't even nominated.
100%.
That's like my favorite Leo performance.
I have a theory. It might be a little controversial, but in the Academy was starting to go to around the time Leo would have been up for that Oscar and trying to be more inclusive in the movies that were getting nominated, I think it would have reflected very bad on the Academy for nominating Leo for that character because of who that character was.
I see your point.
A lot of those lines of dialogue.
Although Christoph Waltz won for that same movie, although he was a quote unquote good guy in it.
Yeah.
But he was the same performance as Inglourious Basterds. It's like, come on, Christoph. Like, like it's literally the same thing. And he's great, but it was the same thing. So, but that is a valid. I don't even know. I mean, I don't remember this off the top of my head. Like Django Unchained was what, like 2012, I think.
Yeah.
Was it? Okay.
And I don't even know who else was up for an Oscar that year. I don't know who was nominated or whatever, but to me, that's my favorite Leo DiCaprio. And I've come a long way on Leonardo DiCaprio. Like Titanic, I was like, oh, that guy, you know, it's like Robert Pattinson, like, oh, that guy. Right. I don't want to see either of them as Batman, but I don't know what you're going to do. Right. So
the oldest performance I've ever seen Leo in is there's an episode of Roseanne where he is an extra in Darlene's classroom.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
we all got to start somewhere,
right?
Amen.
So yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio should be in the next Ninja Turtles movie. I think that's what we've decided in this conversation. So are they making another one like that's not connected to the other ones?
Saw that Seth Rogen.
Yeah, he's producing it through Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus, my favorite streaming service that I don't have anymore because all the new Star Treks are terrible and there's no new Twilight Zone. So I canceled my Paramount Plus, which used to be CBS All Access before it rebranded because of, no one cared about it.
I thought you were going to say it's because of the playoffs were done.
Well, no. I can get CBS on my antenna. Okay. I don't need Paramount Plus for that. Is it animated show by Seth Rogen?
I think it's going to be animated. They released a picture and like an old friend of mine and I were talking on Twitter. It's like what you were saying about the the Michael Bay ones. It's like to add on to that, I should say, it's like they just make the characters look too busy. You know what I mean? Like there's too much detail. It's like just simplify it. It's fine. Like, we're watching a Ninja Turtles movie. We're not expecting like Christopher Nolan's, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles, man, 1990. And then
best one.
They didn't learn anything until, I don't know, I guess Blade in 1998. Nothing happened in between those two movies.
Spawn.
Spawn, no. Batman and Robin, and Steel. As much as I do enjoy Steel, actually, Steel's actually an entertaining film. Those all just killed the superhero franchises. So thanks a lot.
I still maintain that we've blown open the multiverse in the DCEU. Or DC.
I know where this is going.
Shaq is still out there as Steel in one of those worlds. And we need to restore the Shaqverse.
You know he'd do it. He loves Superbad. He would totally do it.
So I actually just saw an interview not too long ago. He talked about redoing it. We didn't have the Iron Man budget back in the day, and he said he'd be totally game to step up and do it again.
Yeah, all right. Halle Berry said the same thing about Catwoman. So
why not? It's first of all, sure, but second of all, like, actors open for more work. Shocking.
Do I want to keep getting paid? Yes.
Although Halle Berry, just come back as Storm. We don't need to go back to Catwoman.
Right? I saw a trailer with her in it of what was that? Moonfall or something? And
oh yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I swear she has not aged a day in the past 20 years. She still looks like she did in the first X-Men movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to that Jinx spinoff from James Bond. So you do a Logan movie style with Pierce Brosnan's James Bond, who's my favorite James Bond. Bring in Jinx, bring in Michelle Yeoh from Tomorrow Never Dies. Ghost Terry Hatcher can be in it, and Jean Grey, Famke Janssen, so she can be a ghost as well. So I just realized that two X-Men are in the James Bond movies.
I'm realizing it as you're saying it. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's right.
Oh man, and Patrick Stewart totally could have been the guy from Tomorrow Never Dies too, I think. So
yeah,
Jonathan Price, the dad from Pirates of the Caribbean. We're gonna control newspapers, y'all. Although those have an age very well.
Lost all sound. But... oh yeah, they're back. Sorry, what did y'all say? I lost sound.
Talking about the what's your favorite Pierce Brosnan James Bond movie, Dallas?
Oh,
it's kind Golden of an easy answer, but like an keep thinking answer. It's fine.
GoldenEye seems like an obvious answer.
That is correct. What is your second favorite then? That's the real question.
Oh, what was the one where they were in the Arctic and it had that extra stupid tricked out car?
Die Another Day?
Yes.
That's the wrong answer. You.
I know, that's like the worst one. But I think that was literally the first James Bond movie I ever saw.
Okay, well, fair enough then. That's understandable. What about you, Darren? What are your favorite James Bond, Pierce Brosnan movies?
I don't think I have a favorite because I haven't seen them.
I was hoping you were going to say because they're all just that good.
Yeah. Man. I've seen some of the newer ones like Skyfall, but I haven't seen the older ones. I really need to, though. Like, I really want to.
No, I still enjoy them. I mean, I grew up playing GoldenEye 64. So, to me, that's why Pierce Brosnan is my James Bond. But
You had said it was funny that two X-Men cast had been in James Bond movies. And I just started not too long ago watching this little show called Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, that's, I've heard of it. It's a prequel to Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Yeah.
Yes, yes, that one. And I just got past the season 5 episode that had Patrick Stewart, obviously, and Famke Jensen.
Hashtag it's all connected.
It's all connected. And this is what, 3 episodes after Kelsey Grammer had a cameo?
That's right. Star Trek's Next Generation was where it's at, y'all. So I'm just saying, you guys are missing out.
This is actually my first Star Trek series that I'm watching start to finish. So
cool. Well, you go all the way up through Enterprise and then don't watch anymore after that.
I do remember when Enterprise was on TV. I caught a few episodes, but being uninitiated, I thought it was cool back then. But we'll see after I've got all the old ones under my belt.
Enterprise came out the same time Smallville did. So I kind of started to fall off my Star Trek fandom. And it did kind of run out of gas and it was kind of repetitive, but the new Star Trek makes Enterprise look like Next Generation, in my opinion. If you love the new Star Trek, that's fine. There you go. Again, internet fights. They're easy to find.
Star Wars is better.
I mean, that's debatable these days. It's but
that's always been my frame of mind.
I would say, here's a hot take. There's more good Star Trek films than more good Star Wars films.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, there's just more Star Trek films, period.
Well, they keep making Star Wars films, and I mean, I think they're 1 for 5 in the Disney era.
Ooh. Yeah.
See, it's easy to find fights on the internet, but
I'm just cheering on a potential fight.
Yeah. So hey, JJ, what's your favorite Pierce Brosnan James Bond movie?
You're not gonna like, well, maybe you'll like the answer. You'll third like the answer. Mm-hmm. It's Die Another Day.
Are you serious? Both of you like Die? What is wrong with you?
Oh wait. That's, no, not terrible. Die Another Day. Oh my gosh. It's not. Is it
Tomorrow Never Dies?
Yes.
Okay.
With Denise Richards, because
no, that's The World Is Not Enough.
Damn it. I got them all mixed up in my head.
Okay, I like The World Is Not Enough too.
I like that one quite a bit too. That's a solid number two.
I just like Denise Richards.
I think The World Is Not Enough is one of my favorite James Bond movies. But it's like, I haven't seen all of them. There's like, what, at this point, 26, 27, 28?
Something like that.
I haven't seen No Time to Die, but I heard about the ending. And I don't care for that.
You see, I had also heard about the ending, and I was like, these Daniel Craig movies are kind of a chore. But I actually did go see, No Time to Die, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. So, but I think the Daniel Craig era is a bit of a chore. So, it's like, hey, do you guys like Chris Nolan and Batman movies and James Bourne? James Bourne, that's what it should be called, Jason Bourne movies. Well, that's what this is. So, but that James Bond movies has become so reactionary. You know, it's like always like, you guys like The Dark Knight? Here's Skyfall. You guys like The Dark Knight Rises? Here's No Time to Die. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. But I will say, I also really do enjoy The World's Not Enough. It gets a bad rap because Denise Richards is a nuclear physicist. So I understand why that gets a bad rap, but it's like,
maybe Christmas Jones.
Christmas Jones. That's a joke that I did not get when I was, 12 years old or whatever. It's like, I thought Christmas only came once a year. I'm like, oh, now I get it. But anyway, that's a joke at the end of the movie. Yeah. So, look that up, kids, and figure that out. But that's a good that's a good James Bond movie. People just don't like it. And it's got it's kind of the plot of The Dark Knight Rises, but a bunch better done. So
I like how that was more of a Sean Connery Bond voice.
See, that feels like something Sean Connery would say more than Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, it does.
I just think Pierce Brosnan has fun being James Bond. Oh, yeah. And it shows, unlike Daniel Craig, who hates being James Bond, and it shows. And it's like, you know what? Sometimes it's okay for a movie to be like escapist and like just fun. And I feel like those are that. So I'm very much looking forward to what happens next with James Bond, because obviously they're going to turn the page here. Henry Cavill should be the next James Bond in my book. I think he'd be great because I love it. A Man from Uncle. We'll see how busy he is or isn't. And moving forward,
has The Witcher gotten to season 3?
Yeah,
that might depend his next year.
Yeah, I just think he's like he'd be perfect for it. We'll see. I think they should do, honestly, is they should they would probably never do this because just reasons. But for those that don't know, James Bond is based off books. So
What?
So they should go back and just start with the books and remake them all from that and make them period pieces.
And the first one is Casino Royale.
But yeah, there. Oh well, that's a problem because that's like the best one. Like it's the Daniel Craig era is so frustrating because I feel like it started out like the best thing ever and they just kind of everything was so reactionary because Quantum of Solace is terrible and it's very zigzag in quality. So
yeah.
Unless they start getting produced by Sony, I mean, they're not just going to keep rebooting it.
Yeah. I think they are produced by Sony is the thing.
Are they?
I don't know who owns the rights anymore, honestly.
Well, now I think it's Amazon.
They bought the last movie, but I don't think they own the rights.
Oh, No. I think because they bought MGM, that's why they have the rights now.
It's very complicated. So,
but Sony, I'm pretty sure was doing it when Casino Royale came out.
Sony was doing it. So like Sony MGM, I think was doing it all because there's a lot of product placement. Yes. Like, look at me on my Vio. Right, it's like, right. Yeah, I get it, James Bond. But those are fun. Those are fun movies. I think they're just fun to escape. But I'll tell you what was a better James Bond movie than James Bond these days. Mission Impossible. Also starring Henry Cavill. By the way, that was fantastic. That sixth one was fantastic. I think it might be my favorite.
Mission Impossible. I stopped watching after four.
Four is like the second best, man.
I know. I'm just saying. I never saw five and six.
Okay, they're all good. Two is the only bad one.
Sure.
Do you have any strong Mission Impossible thoughts, Darren?
I wouldn't say strong thoughts. I mean, I kind of agree with you.
Well, are you gonna cover Mission Impossible 2 on your podcast?
Yeah. Maybe it depends. There's only so many movies I can cover, you know. But yeah, that'd be fun. I mean, I think Henry Cavill would be a great choice. You know, obviously with the business of, you know, Netflix owning the rights to his face, you know, it's going to be hard for him to get out of that. But for those that don't know, Henry Cavill was joking about that online.
Yeah, some people are like, that explains so much.
Yeah, some people actually took it seriously.
That's a joke.
Yeah, but. Yeah, I mean, Idris Elba, I know, has been rumored to be James Bond.
Tom Hardy as well.
Yeah, I'll throw out a name who will probably never in a million years be considered, but I think it'd be really cool. Tom Welling.
Oh, well, you know, he's got his audition tape ready in the Professionals coming this summer on CW. When does that show come out, Darren? Do you know?
Good question. I don't know. I mean,
you would be the you let me know. You'd be the guy to let me know. So yeah,
I may have watched a few episodes. Somehow, some way.
I see. So basically, if you play Superman, you can play James Bond.
I mean, Ben Affleck could do it. I mean, I could see Batman actors like Christian Bale or.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I could see that too.
Bale for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Bale. Of them all, yeah. I'd say Bale. Certainly not Robert Pattinson. Am I right? Who would buy that guy as James Bond? I don't know. Like, I hope James Bond like figures it out. You know, I think they kind of salvaged the kind of mess they had with No Time to Die. That's kind of why I liked it. Kind of, I feel like I was kind of done and kind of over it, but I enjoyed it. And so a good ending can make a big difference. So I feel like they're kind of like they sorted all that out, but now it's time for a new era and I'm ready for it. So just watch the Mission Impossible movies and do what they're doing. Right. So, but so much of that is Tom Cruise and him doing his absurd things. So,
and I think that might be kind of why I fell off the Mission Impossible, because I've always said Tom Cruise, I don't like him. I don't dislike him, but he's not enough for me to just go see a movie because Tom Cruise is there.
Then you are not the prime 80s audience.
No,
Maverick, not. Top Gun 2 coming out. I think finally.
Now that I'm excited for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Finally.
Yeah, I mean, that got delayed, what, 2 years because of COVID? So,
yeah.
Well, yeah, because Tom Cruise is adamant about a theatrical release. And
did you guys hear that freak out that he did?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's incredible, but I kind of 100% agree with him.
I do too, because he wants to keep everybody safe and make sure everybody has a job. So that does make sense. It's just with the Scientology behind it, it does make it problematic. However, so I recognize that. And I'm also recognizing that he was kind of right, though. He's in charge of everybody and you're not following procedure and you should get in trouble for it.
I mean, that is, you know, we mentioned Christian Bale, the other famous behind the scenes rant, which is fantastic. That reminded me of that.
It is out of that one was out of line though.
Oh no, but that's the difference. Like the Tom Cruise one is like the good version of that. Like as far as like what he's trying to communicate, the Christian Bale rant was like, dude, you're totally out of line. And I was working in TV at the time that came out, and we quote that to each other, I think, every day. Why are you walking right through? Da, 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 da. Like it was, I mean, I still quote it. I try to quote it as much as I can because it's incredible. Now who knows what the funny thing about the Christian Bale one, right, is that it starts out like he's really mad, and then he kind of calms down some, and you're like, okay. And then he just out of nowhere just goes off again. Let's go again. He's just so mad. And I like Terminator Salvation. I don't like, I don't know. Like I don't, people don't seem to like it, but it's definitely, it's the best non Terminator 1 and 2 thing that is Terminator, in my opinion.
That's a whole other podcast.
Sarah Connor Chronicles. That's true. That's a solid contender. I need to finish that show. I stopped watching in season 2 when she went to the UFO convention.
Hey, you need to finish that show. That's the exact opposite of what the network said.
There it is. Mic drop. Oh man. But no, that was a good show. From what I saw, I just kind of got like, I don't know, I just kind of got tired of it, and then Fox canceled it. So I'm like, oh, okay. But Terminator, good stuff. But yeah, Tom Cruise, entertaining stuff. Go look it up. Looking forward to Maverick. Looking forward to Mission Impossible 7 and 8, which they filmed back to back. And I'm looking forward to Edge of Tomorrow, too. You guys seen Edge of Tomorrow? Live, Die, Repeat?
No, actually.
A long time ago, I think I did.
I saw that for the first time. At some point during COVID, I liked it quite a bit. I was very impressed by it. So I recommend it's like Groundhog Day meets Starship Troopers, if I had to sum it up in one sentence. So check it out.
Yeah.
On Paramount Plus. No, I don't know where it is. Might be.
Well, let's find
out. You know, Paramount Plus pisses me off. They took all the Star Treks and all the Twilight Zones off all the other streaming services. Not that I don't own them on physical media, but it's just something about the accessibility that I like. But anyway.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by.
They didn't take Next Generation or Deep Space Nine off Netflix. So.
Well, those are the two best Star Trek shows. So that makes sense. So. Wow.
So those will be the two I'm starting with. Then I'll buy Paramount Plus for 2 months and watch all the other Star Treks.
Well, just Picard? Again, just only Voyager and Enterprise. You can stop there. But yeah,
what about Picard?
Oh, Picard is heartbreakingly bad. It's so disappointing. Picard is, it's like, hey, you remember Captain Picard? Well, his life sucks now. And so do all his friends. And so does the Federation. So that's my opinion. But hey, if you like it, that's cool. I'm not going to tell you what to like and not like. But I think it's terrible. It was so disappointing. I like Discovery was like, okay, I can at least like, you're different actors and you're completely like different look. And it's completely not like part of continuity, even though you're trying to tell me it was, and I could separate it. But it's like, no, you brought back Patrick Stewart for Picard, and here's 7 of 9 is here, and Riker and Troy are here, and they had a kid who died, and like their life sucks now, and Data's still dead. And anyway, it's very depressing. And I don't understand why it was made, other than to get people to subscribe to CBS All Access. Plus, Star Trek was like one of my foundational fandoms, so I have very strong opinions about it. I did a Star Trek podcast for several years. So, but hey, check it out.
Wow. After all that.
Yeah.
Hey, do you like spending $14.99 a month on bullshit? Go there.
Here's the thing. Star Trek Picard season 2, I'm not even going to watch it. That's how I feel about Starship Picard, because I saw a trailer for it. And it's like, hey, you guys remember Q? You guys remember the Borg? You guys remember time travel? Yeah, we're in modern time. I'm like, look, it's like, is there any originality left? Like, it's like, I liked all those things, but you can't just keep doing them over and over again. It's they're completely devoid of new ideas. And that's my problem.
And Aaron has a sequel podcast.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do any of you seen new Star Trek?
I I didn't mind Picard, although I haven't watched it since. I do like Lower Decks. I think that's very funny.
But Lower Decks is by default the best of the new Star Trek, I will say. I'm not crazy about that idea, but at least it seems to be entertaining in its own way.
It is, and you know, but I also have a man crush on Jack Quaid. You know, if I wasn't such a big Scream fan, that's why I went to the new Scream.
Oh yeah,
I was like, there he is. He's there. So
Cal Gowner from Smallville also there.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He was the guy Impulse, that gets killed Impulse, at right? the Impulse. Excuse me. Yes, yeah, not the Flash. Impulse. He's always been Impulse the whole time.
Even in season 11.
Yes. Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. I have some strong feelings about all these things, but I'm not going to watch these.
I am looking forward to Strange New Worlds because that's the. It seems very, maybe in a bad way, hopefully not, reminiscent of the original series.
What you mean they're actually like trying to make Star Trek Star Trek? What a crazy idea. Well, let's ask Dallas. Dallas, so if you're watching Next Generation right now, have you seen the original series?
I have not. I've seen, before walking into this, I have seen just sporadic episodes from just about every series. And then I have seen all the original series movies.
Good. Well, those are my favorite of anything Star Trek, is the first six movies. You like the original series movies?
I did. And I watched those way back. I watched those on Netflix via mail.
Oh, that is way back.
Wow. Yeah. You are old. We're not the only ones, Zach.
You know the meme of like the granddaughter walking her grandma down like a garden path with the wall with the walker? Mm-hmm. Of all of the captions for that meme, it's, I remember when they used to send your Netflix in the mail. It's like, let's get you back to bed, grandma. That is the best one. Yep. They send you Netflix in the mail. What an absurd thing that someone would say.
You know, they still have a huge DVD subscription.
Yeah, it's still a big part of it. Yeah.
Honestly, I think up until probably 10 years ago or so, like 2012 or so, like there was still like half their deal was the mail. I mean, that's the last time I think I mailed off for a disc or something, but because everything's shocking, everyone, everything's not on streaming. So sometimes you have to get that physical. Yeah, half the time it's better just go to Half Price Books and buy it for $5 than deal with all the other nonsense. So well, anyway, I guess my point was the original series, I highly recommend. It was Star Trek, right? So it started it all. So you can't go wrong with either of the first three shows, which is Star Trek, Next Generation, and Deep Space Nine. And no, I did not forget about the animated series. That's also kind of an extension of the original series. That's the fourth and fifth year of the 5-year mission, if you ask me. But anyway, I thought about that, JJ, because you mentioned the original show, and Captain Pike was the original captain before Captain Kirk.
Right.
And Anson Mount from Smallville.
Yep. He was Dr. Helen's crazy ex. Yes.
And then he went on. I never watched the show, but he wanted to star in what I think was called like The Mountain or something. I used to see promos and the promo posters for it. It's like The Mountain after Everwood on the WB, right? Probably last like 13 episodes. Anyway,
right.
I always thought that guy, even at the time, I was like, he should be on Mad Men or something. He's got like an old school kind of look. It's so funny. Like I did that episode of some Precipice. It was before he was Captain Pike. And I would have had so much more to say if he was Captain Pike. He was also in Hell on Wheels, which I never watched, but apparently people really liked. But he's going to be Captain Pike. I am interested in that show. I will check it out. If only to see how horribly they stomp over continuity. Because they're not going to be able to help themselves. I don't think.
It's a double-edged sword with the fan service versus the, you know, just does this fit the story? And you could argue that, you know, who did it best? You know, the Star Wars sequels, Halloween, Scream. You know, it's like there's,
oh, of those three, Scream.
Well, yeah,
no question.
Maybe towards the bottom of the list, I would put Candyman because I think they messed up.
I still haven't seen that because that's the new Candyman movie with Black Manta is a sequel to the first one. Is that correct? To the original Candyman.
Yep. It's just like Halloween. Yeah.
But then, and of course they named it Candyman to make it very confusing.
But it's very different where the Candyman story is different. And then I don't want to spoil it, but it's like,
so it's saying it's a sequel, but it doesn't really fit.
Yeah, because they add too much mythology to it.
Okay. Looking forward to watching that. So
it's still enjoyable.
Like, on if you Paramount like, if you Plus. Like horror movies. No, I don't know. Right. I don't know where you can see it. Tony Todd, right? Tony Todd in Smallville, by the way.
Again. Oh my gosh.
Also, Dallas, he plays Worf's brother on Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh. Listening to Rosenbaum's podcast, I have never heard so much like energy talking about so many mental health problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you guys but listened to the one of the most podcast. Recent ones with Alan Richardson?
Yeah, that one was great.
I did not. Yeah. I need to.
Highly recommend.
It convinced me to watch Reacher, to be honest with you. He's like, if for another reason, I want to support this guy because he deserves it.
I loved him as Thad in Blue Mountain State.
Okay, yeah. I've never seen that, but I get it. Yeah.
Anyone ever seen it? It's also got a Pete.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Sam Jones III is in it.
Yeah.
I remember seeing like trailers for that, and I'm like, I guess we'll have to cover it some in the podcast since there's so many Smallville people in it because there was Aquaman, there was Pete. I know. Is there anybody else in there?
It's a much higher TV rating than you're used to dealing with. I'm
aware
cast.
Of what it is. Okay. Don't get me wrong.
I just wanted to cover that.
There's a high maturity level.
I know you like to come at it family friendly. I don't know how that's going to work with Blue Mountain State. But.
I'll check it out and we'll see. I'll preview it, make sure it's safe for everyone before I talk about it. I'm aware of its contents, but I don't know. Like, there's a lot of Smallville people in it, so it'd be worth at least checking out. I've never seen it, but I remember seeing. What was it, like TBS or something? It's on some cable channel.
Yeah. TNT, maybe. Actually, it sounds like it would have been on Spike.
It does sound like it would be. Yeah. And Alan Richardson come a long way acting wise. I mean, because I love Aqua. I think that's a great episode, but I do understand why they were like, well, I don't know if this guy can lead a show back in 2005 or whatever, right?
Right.
But now, I mean, he was Hawk on Titans. And now he's Reacher, and I'm like, I'm very happy for him. He's really come a long way. And then if you listen to his just personal journey on the Mosman Bob's podcast, it is intense. So
hey, I have two things that are hilarious. One, it was on Spike.
Called it.
Of course.
And by the way, I know where you can watch it now, Zach, because Spike TV is now Paramount Television.
Oh, they got me. It's on Paramount Plus. God's
you
sake.
Did it, man. I can't even.
I admit defeat. Great. Well, looks like I'll be getting Paramount Plus again at some point. So
that's like me and Hulu. I'll get Hulu for like a month, binge through whatever I wanted to watch, then cancel it for 6 months.
Hmm. How do you watch Smallville though, Dallas?
DVDs.
There it is.
And I am currently sacking pennies away for the Blu-rays.
No, I mean, the Blu-rays are great. Although I do miss the menus that open it up. Like, like these just a screen comes up. I'm like, gosh, it's so uninvolved. Because the 2000s was a wonderful time for DVD menus and special features and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Get you hyped up to watch stuff.
That was in the late 90s when they started making DVDs. That was like a feature. It's like interactive menu. It's like
scene selection.
Exactly. Yes. And it's just like the do you remember the Fox DVD commercial?
I think it had a bunch of clips from all these movies, right?
Yeah, and it tried to tell you that it was like, look how high tech we are now with footage from the abyss and Independence Day and all this stuff. And it was just like, dude, you guys are trying to sell, like, I don't know, like you're trying to sell. I really can't think of a good example. Either way, you're not selling it. There we go.
Point made very eloquently there. Thank you.
Y'all remember DVD on TV?
No, what is this?
Okay. It was early 2000s. Let's see. I think I was in second grade. So like, I don't know, 2001, 2002. And it was on one of the cable networks. And on the weekends, they would play DVD on TV. And it would be these two hosts and they'd play a movie. And then during the commercial breaks, they would go through some of the DVD's special features, like show you behind the scenes and show you bloopers.
Yes.
And
I do remember. Yeah.
See, now I remember AMC used to do a thing. I don't know what they called it, but it was like,
oh yeah.
I don't know what they called it, but like Superman Returns, for example, is on. And I remember like Lance and I roommates, and we ended up watching Superman Returns on AMC, even though we both had it on DVD. We're gonna watch, but it was like trivia would pop up, I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Like these are the kind of gimmicks they had to get you watching, because why else would you watch cable TV anymore? Right? It's like, do you want to watch? I always remember, like I think for like 10 years, whenever I turned on TNT, it was the Lord of the Rings trilogy. That was all it was on. It was just, you know, so
yes. It was either that or Triple X.
Yes. No. 100%. You're both right.
I'll tell you when I officially felt old. So when we were sitting in, I think it was a TGI Fridays, and I look up on the TV and The Force Awakens is showing on TNT. I was like, Star Wars Episode 7 is now on cable and they're showing it at a restaurant. I am old. Like that's when I knew.
I think the first time I ever felt old was when I said, you know, when I was your age, not ironically.
You kids don't know how good you have it. So
exactly.
You kids
right.
And your DVD on TV. Oh man. Well, you know, speaking of special features, I have not done this or gone through the special features like this, but I'm sure Darren could tell us. Doesn't Zack Snyder do some pretty in-depth like director in the scene stuff on the special features?
Yeah, it's one of the things that is probably one of my favorite parts of the aspects that they released with his movies. With Man of Steel, they actually did like it was almost like a commentary where they had the movie playing, and it was kind of like with our screen here on Zoom, where it's like it's off in the corner and you can see it, what's happening, but the rest of the screen, the rest of the 3/4 of the screen is showing behind the scenes stuff. It has literally like Zach or, you know, Henry or anybody from behind the scenes talking about the movie and just showing different things and stuff like that, and talking about why they made certain choices and how they made this and how they did that. It was really fascinating, really kind of cool.
I'll have to check this out, because I own all that stuff. I just, you know, these days it's just like, it feels such a chore to get through Blu-rays and their special features sometimes. Like when I had more time when I was like younger, I was like, you know, talk about feeling old, right? I would get a home video thing and I would watch all the special features first, because I'm like, well, I haven't seen these. They're new, right? But then by the time it came time to watch the movie, like, I don't know, I'm kind of burned out on this movie. I just watched like 6 hours of special features. But that would be a fun way to kind of rewatch some of the stuff. Because I mean, I have The Watchmen. Obviously, I know he does a lot in that as well. But, you know, these days I almost feel like YouTubers make better documentaries about this stuff than official. I think people like Zack Snyder is kind of the exception to the rule for that kind of thing. But I feel like these days, like, everything is just marketing department slapped together. Like, here's a trailer for other stuff you want to see that. I feel like that's how special features have gone these days. Do you guys feel the same way? Or
yes, 100%.
Yep.
I think, I mean, look at Oliver Harper. I mean, that guy he makes amazing documentary style retrospectives on movies that are just incredible.
Yeah. And most of it is, and then he's kind of moved into actual documentaries too now, like as far as like In Search of Heroes and In Search of Darkness and those kind of stuff. Yeah, everybody got to look this up. I've been watching his stuff for years. I really like him.
Yeah. Man of Steel and Glass, I think, is another one. Oh, yeah. Superman 4, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He did a whole, and my name's in the credits on that. I was a patron of his at the time. And
really?
Yeah, yeah. You go look in the, I don't know where it is in there, but in the credits, my name is in there because I was a patron of his at the time, and he made a basically Superman 4 mini documentary. Because since he lives in the UK, he went to the locations that they filmed Superman 4 at, the Milton Keynes, I think. He's, like I said, he's moving to more like actual production now, doing interviews and stuff. But even before that, when he got started, he would just take all these archived special features, news clips, all these things, and just edit them all together. And that's what's disappointing. All these modern documentaries, like they're just so just like, okay, who did we get to sit down with us for 30 minutes one day and we edit it in there, when like, if you actually, I mean, I think we might have to pay a little more to get access to like archive interviews and rights and stuff, but that makes such a big difference. You know, like I think about the Batman anthology set, right? The Tim Burton Schumacher ones.
Yeah.
Those are some of the best ones.
I love those
because
I watch them frequently.
Man, I thought time I rewatched those and I'm going to kind of get into Batman mood again, right? With all this new Batman stuff coming out. But it's those are so good. And for some reason, like, I don't know what the real story is, but like Michael Keaton's not in them, like in modern day, like, cause right. they made these around 2004 to kind of tie into Batman Begins coming out. And I think what the 15th anniversary of Batman 89. And so all they have is like archive interviews with Michael Keaton from like Batman Returns. I'm like, that's weird. And obviously George Clooney didn't do it. That's fine because he's the biggest star in the world at the time and it's Batman and Robin, right? But Val Kilmer came back and talked about Batman Forever and good for him. And Joel Schumacher came in, Tim Burton. And the biggest one is Jack Nicholson came back. I'm like, Jack Nicholson is going to be in your special features. I'm like, that's incredible. How do you get Jack Nicholson but don't get Michael Keaton?
I just said,
it's just incredible. But no, I think the journey that they, taking on through all four of those movies is so good.
I am a very avid physical media enthusiast per se. So I have a mini collection that I've started right now. I love physical media. I always will fight and vouch for it. You know, I follow channels like Films at Home and like Spare Change are some of my favorites that really talk about some of these releases. And some of the studios might be cutting corners, like Disney sometimes cuts corners with their new 4K releases and remasters that they do of older movies. But I'm a huge fan of that experience of watching it at home. But for one, it's higher quality than streaming. But also, like you said, another big aspect is there's a lot more behind the scenes kind of stuff that you get, especially on like the new retrospectives. There's usually a new kind of documentary that comes out with them, or it'll have an older one if it's a good one that's with it. And it kind of informs and lets people in on the movie making process. And like for the next generation of filmmakers, I think that's huge.
I was going to say earlier, you can learn more watching Zack Snyder's behind the scenes on his DVD extras than you can probably learn from a movie 101 class in college.
I mean, I love the behind the scenes on obviously like Man of Steel, Batman v Superman. And there's actually a really cool one with the Snyder Cut with that 4K Blu-ray. There's one called The Road to Zack Snyder's Justice League. And it's about a 30-minute documentary where it's mostly Zack just kind of talking about the journey of Man of Steel, BVS, and then with everything with Justice League and being able to bring it to life and his trilogy per se. So that's another really good one too.
Yeah. And I feel like that's why I said he's kind of the exception to the rule these days where they kind of really delve into stuff, because I feel like these days, unless it's a movie that came out like, you know, 20 years ago and there's like a really good like retrospective documentary about it, they really just don't go into much depth. It's kind of like a flyover. Like there was like a golden age of like special features of like late 90s, maybe early 2000s. So I think maybe like there's like a 10-year period, like from like, so let's say 2000, 2010. Right. I think was your Goldilocks zone for that stuff. And nowadays it just kind of depends. But no, if you get some like, you know, Shout Factory, Scream Factory special releases, like sometimes they get stuff like that, like for the 1970s King Kong movie came out with one recently. They had like an extended TV cut and special features and interviews and documentaries and featurettes. But those are very specialized, you know, those were like film buffs and nerds or like this specific thing. Or but like as far as like the, you know, what you go see on the rack at the store, which by the way, like, has anyone been to a Best Buy lately? Because it's embarrassing how little stuff they have there. It's sad. Like every few months I go into a Best Buy and it's just that there's like one or two less shelves. But eventually I think there's going to be like one shelf in the future. And it's sad because like you, Darren, I like to collect physical media and it's like, I don't want to have to go to, you know, Barnes and Noble for it, but that's like one of the last places left.
Yeah, I know. Like I used to work at Best Buy a few years ago and even the change since then has just been crazy. You know,
I mean, I remember when I was in high school, like you go to Best Buy and the first half of the store, CDs.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it should still be that way, but I'm saying like some inventory would be nice, you know. Or did you guys ever have a Fry's? Did everybody remember Fry's? Everybody have a Fry's near them?
I remember Fry's. Circuit City.
I mean, true. CompUSA, right? All these kinds of things, but I think with Fry's, like they had incredible inventory.
Yeah,
like that was the whole thing about them, and then they kind of like stopped having inventory. And I'm like, well, that's why you're going to go out of business because that's the only reason I was coming to you. So I didn't have to go to like online and find something. So
what was that one in the mall?
Sam Good.
No.
FYE.
FYE. That was it.
It's still around. I still have one. Yeah.
Must be nice. You still have KB Toys
is
too?
Is it still a store or is it just one of those kiosks in like the middle?
It's a store that I don't know how they survived. They have mob connections. I don't know.
Must.
Well, now we're definitely for over talking about how Best Buy used to have CDs. How upset we are about it. But
I still have a CD player in my car, and I keep my CDs in this little thing that flips down to like cover the whatever little unit that the CDs are sitting in. And sometimes I forget to close it, and I lock my car door, and I look through the window, and I'm like, if in 2022 someone's going to break into my car for CDs, they need them more than I do.
Right.
That's funny.
Well, yeah, like I said, like I go to like Half Price Books and stores like that, and like you can't just buy a CD and then put it in your car anymore, if you know, because a lot of more recent cars don't have the CD player anymore. So it's like you got to go home, put it on your computer, upload it all. It's like, oh man, no, there was something cool about just going to the store, you buy your CD, you put it in your car, and you drive home. It was such a cool feeling. And now we can't have that. So thanks, technology, you know? So I thought you're supposed to make the world a better place. But so, yeah, I mean, that was a fun flowing conversation about all kinds of stuff. Any scattershot thoughts here as we kind of wind down?
The movie I Want You Back on Prime is very funny.
Okay. Yeah, everyone go check that out.
There you go. How do you guys feel about the new Stranger Things news?
I was hoping for not a long shelf life on the main series, so that makes me happy.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, anything.
I mean, last season,
anything past three seasons is huge for Netflix, right? So,
yes.
Right. Number four going to be the last one.
Nope, there's one more. There's one after that.
Okay.
The season four is going to be split into two parts, where they're going to have some episodes debut in May, and then in the rest of that of season four will be in July, I think. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to do a season five after that. And that's going to be like the end, I guess. But I guess they did talk about like a spinoff show that might potentially happen or something to keep the IP going.
It'd be called Even Stranger Things.
Yes. Stranger. Strangest. Strangest Things.
Stranger's Thing. There we go.
Now, they do the I'm familiar with Stranger Things. I've never watched a complete episode. I got kind of I'm kind of busy.
Kind of busy
watching Smallville over here. Okay, so excuse me, but
what's Smallville?
Well, it's a young Superman show that ran 2001 to 2011 in the CW. I literally started off the podcast saying that. Pay attention, but I know I just kind of got behind. It was such a huge phenomenon so quickly, and I always am like, whoa. I don't want to be part of that. Like if something gets too popular too quick. No, it seems very good from all I can tell. And I'm sure I would like it, but it's like, I don't know. It seems like one of those things where it's like, it's such a trendy thing to like.
Zach prefers things to run for like a decade and then pick up more real steam when they do the 20th anniversary.
Yeah. I'm kind of long game
on Twitter, right? Yeah.
He's been planning for this.
Yeah. I mean, 11 was cool in the Godzilla movies or whatever, but I mean, it's fine. No, I'll check it out at some point, but it's like this never ending list of like, oh, you got to check that out, you know? So,
so you're saying that there's going to be a, always hold on to Stranger Things on the Patreon.
Yeah, right? That's it. First time watch. So
yeah,
always hold on to Stranger's Thing. No. Stranger Things.
We're going to workshop that. But, as this is going to sound horrible because I've never seen Stranger Things. Have you guys seen the Scream TV show?
Yes, I loved it.
A couple episodes.
So I watched the first season over the course of a weekend a couple weeks ago, and I really liked it. You know, it's got Sin from Arrow is one of the main characters.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And also, who was another one of the main characters? Gosh, it's someone that I knew from something else. A guy, the sheriff on the show was a cop on a show called Third Watch. It was a show on NBC around like 2000. And I was like, oh, it's like this character just moved to this small town and became a sheriff. Anyway, I really enjoyed it because I had never seen Scream before when these new movies were coming out. I'm covering it on Franchise Fatigue with a podcasting partner, Brandon, over there. He loves Scream. And I was somehow got through life without being spoiled on Scream, despite your tweets, JJ. I was able to avoid any spoilers. I was like, oh, you're saying something about Scream 3. I better not pay attention.
Because I joined up with my friend now, Ryan Showers, who does the Scream podcast, and it's great. And he's so in depth with it. You're like, oh, like it'd be sort of like if I were to say, oh, I like Smallville, and then I met you, Zach, and I'd be like, oh, I thought I liked Smallville. This guy loves Smallville.
So
like,
he has a Scream podcast.
Yeah. He got to interview the directors, the Radio Silence from the new films.
Oh, nice. Well, I might check that out because I'm getting into Scream lately. And so you can find the show on Hulu because it was an MTV show, by the way. So the whole it's also on Netflix too. So like it's available out there. I recommend it. I didn't know what I was going to expect. But I watched the first season, really liked it, and there's apparently more.
I watched that one week to week as it was coming out.
Did you feel satisfied, like, at the end? No spoilers, I guess, but...
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like a slightly raunchier CW show, really. I mean, you have all these teenagers out doing things teenagers should not be doing. Lots of underage drinking, lots of, you know, partying, and it felt like Scream. I was very satisfied with it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, what is this cheap cash in for this movie franchise? But I thought they did a good job. Mm-hmm. And there's only three seasons, so I'm looking forward to checking out the other two at some point. But I gotta say, in the first season, there's two deaths, the most extreme thing you might have ever seen, and there's so much more intense than what happens in the movies. And if you've seen the show, you might know what I'm talking about. But like, I literally was like, oh my god, are you kidding me? So who cares about Stranger Things? I'm talking about Scream, TV show that came out, was it 2014 or something? I don't know. But I really like the Scream movies. I gotta say, they're probably my favorite horror franchise, because there's no, like, three is my least favorite, but I think they're all, pretty good. There's not like a dud in there, in my opinion. So
agreed.
I love number four. That's just because it's got my girl Hayden Panettiere in it.
The four is my favorite.
The first Comic-Con I ever went to, I got her autograph from Heroes.
Did you have her sign? Can you say the cheerleader, say the word?
No, it was just a headshot, but I got a picture with her later, and I was just like, I love the show. And she was like, oh, thanks. And I was just like, I screwed this up.
Yeah, I mean, you blew your shot, man. You blew your shot. I'm sure. I'm surprised she's in. She went to conventions. I feel like she'd be one of these people. Like, I don't do that.
Like that was April 2008. So
it was, that was early. Sure, that was, she was still making Heroes.
It was probably in her Heroes contract.
Yeah. Okay. Probably, that makes sense. I mean, look, conventions aren't for everybody, but I see her as being like, I don't think she'll see her in any conventions anytime soon. But hey, spoilers for the future. There's an Easter egg in Scream 5 that reveals that she survived Scream 4. So maybe she'll be in Scream 6.
I hope so.
I don't know what she's doing lately. I haven't seen her anything. She's in that Nashville show.
Didn't that end though?
Yeah, I think it's over. I mean, maybe they can make a sequel to Remember the Titans and she can play a grown up version of her.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
I would love that. A, she'd be the new Will Patton. B, I think. With everything going on right now, that might actually be pretty topical.
We need another Remember the Titans, okay? America needs Remember the Titans.
Okay, so I always feel so weird saying this, but I've had a crush on her since I saw that movie.
Okay, and how old were you when you saw that movie?
Keep in mind, I saw that movie in theaters when it came out, and I'm like 3 years younger than her.
So okay, there we go.
It's appropriate.
We got it on the record. Did you know?
Yeah, she's been like my celebrity crush ever since then.
Did you know that her friend in season one of Heroes was named Zach?
Yes.
And he went on to play John Connor in the Sarah Connor Chronicles. So hashtag it's all connected.
And he delivered, I think, one of my favorite lines in that show, which was, YouTube's free, you idiot. Ha ha ha. Did we know 10 years later?
Always on Heroes. Would you guys be excited if I actually follow through on that and did it?
Yes.
As long as we get to be guests, man. Like, yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys have literally paid your dues, so you can all be guests. Absolutely. So, just keep on that Patreon, and
I believe I asked that on the very first round table if all your patrons were going to be grandfathered into Always Hold On to Heroes.
Yeah, I've so much time has passed since Heroes at this point. Like, okay, when I started Smallville, the podcast, it was 2016, right? And Heroes ended in 2010, I think.
Well, are we counting Heroes Reborn?
Well, and then Heroes Reborn was like around 2014. So it was like still like, you know, fresh and topical. And I had like strong passionate feelings about it. But now it's like, yeah, you know, I'm getting further and further away from it. I'm like, I don't know. But no, no, don't worry. I still have all four seasons saran wrapped on DVD that I have yet to open. So I'll open them one at a time and we'll get through. Heroes is the next flagship show. Don't worry. Okay. Like, as far, we have all these spinoffs of like, you know, this and that on the Patreon and whatnot. We're going to get to Heroes when Smallville's over, whenever that is. So, cause we got to keep this thing going.
Yeah.
So we got to get, sure. I got bills to pay. So we
got
to
still
gotta
got some novels
going
to do too, Zach.
Show me the money.
Show me the money. We have what to do, Dallas?
Still got some Smallville novels to do.
Oh, that's right. Smallville novels. So if anybody has Smallville novels.
I've got all of them. I'm ready to go.
Dallas is my go-to guy on those. Can you record? Can you read them as like an audiobook and then send that to me, Dallas?
Yeah, sure.
That's a time commitment. I know. See,
do you want character voices or no?
Let's try it for the first time. Then if it's awkward, we'll stop. Okay. But
it'll be awkward either way. Just go for it.
Just
man.
Do it. Yeah.
Dallas, read me a story before bedtime here.
I am Clark. I am Lana.
I'm so interested to read these because I have a couple because people have gifted them to me. Like, hey, saw this and thought of you. I saw it in an antique store, which is cool. Like, I told that's great. You know, I never bought them back in the day. I probably should have. But I just didn't. And they're like young adult novels, right? So they're shorter than.
Right. There's like a children's chapter book.
Oh, series, here we go.
And then there's a like more. No, I mean, yeah, they're on a young adult reading level for sure. But I mean, they're kind of long. I have them buried in a box somewhere. Otherwise,
no. I'm very excited to get them all and read them all. And that will be. Yes. It's like. I need to finish the comic books because we started the comics for Crisis. I need to finish those, but those are just the season 11 comic books. Then there's the actual smaller comic books, right? Mm-hmm. They came out during the second and third season. And then there's the books. Darren, have you read any of this stuff?
Not yet. It is on my to-do list.
Tom Welling is your favorite actor. You haven't read any Smallville novels. So,
come on. I mean,
too busy watching The Professional, some illegal feed from Europe, but can't read the Smallville novels. I'm sure you have a perfectly legal VPN. I'm sure. Don't worry about it.
Of course. Yes.
That's how we watch things. And yeah, so no, I don't even, that's what's cool. Like, it's a totally unknown branch of Smallville to me these novels. And I'm pretty sure we talked about this before, Dallas, but is there one where someone turns into a dinosaur? Isn't there one called Dragon and the guy turns into a dinosaur?
Yes, there's one called Dragon. I don't really know what it's about.
I'm in.
I read that one back in the day.
I know I've mentioned this to someone and someone told me this. Yep, and Clark makes a suit of armor with like lead or something.
Yes.
Oh, that's, man. Right. That would have been a great episode.
Definitely don't get your hopes up for the actual quality of writing, because if they're anything like any other novels spun out of a, especially science fiction TV show, they're gonna be pretty bad.
Well, I mean, the quality of writing on Smallville isn't great all the time either, so I it's not exactly
okay. Well, you know, that's fair.
And these are all like early small, like these are all like first couple seasons, right? Because I feel like these didn't last that long,
right?
No, it's all like the covers are all like promo shots or pictures taken right out of the episode. Pete's on one of the covers. Mm. It's definitely season two Lex.
Okay. Lionel's blind. No, it's so interesting. I missed so much opportunity. Like, I don't know, man. If Smallville had come out, well, I say this. I think if Smallville had come out like 5-10 years later for sure, there'd been so much more tie-in stuff to get. And I always wish we got a video game, right? But Arrow and the Flash never got a video game. But I mean, Smallville's, you know, bigger and better than those shows, let's be honest.
Obviously.
So, I mean, imagine a game where like you get powers with each level, right? And it's like a free roam. You can go down the caves and anyway.
I thought about this, and had we gotten a Smallville game at the time, it would have been some terrible side scroller for the Game Boy Advance.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
Oh man. But those novels are definitely on there. So should I, what do you guys think? Should I cover the novels and then the comic books, or the comic books and then the novels?
I'd say finish the comics.
Well, I got to finish season 11 and then I'll go back and do the actual, I think there was only like a dozen issues of, I mean, I have them all, but like of the actual Smallville comics that came out concurrently with the show. And then I'll do the novels. And I guess that'll all be after the finale just to keep this thing going. So,
yeah.
And then there's an animated show from Tom and Michael coming out, and this will last forever. So what did I sign up for? So
it's like, sure will, buddy. Sure will.
It's your rodeo, Zach. We're just the clowns.
Oh, there it is. So, all right. Well, on that note, a lot of fun talking about all kinds of stuff this time. I feel like I still talked about 70% of the time, so I'm going to work on that. But that's, you guys are here to talk to me, right? So like, I don't want you to feel like you're at a convention and I'm here signing autographs and I'm making eye contact. You know what I'm saying? So
I was very underwhelmed with Spock's appearance on Next Generation.
Well, correct. There we go. Right. This guy's talking about language. Unification part one is better than part two, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and right? Spock has one line.
I agree with that, actually, because I know those episodes.
Oh, look at you. All right.
Yeah, just a couple here and there, but I watched those because of Leonard Nimoy.
Darren, do you have any strong thoughts on Leonard Nimoy's appearance on Star Trek Next Generation?
No.
What about The Simpsons? The two episodes he's on The Simpsons are two of the funniest things in the entire world.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Well, that in Futurama.
Oh yes. Yes.
That's the best thing ever. Like, it's like making fun of fandom, but also loving fandom. So that's like where no fan is gone before, I think is the name of that episode.
Speaking reboots.
Yep. Speaking of reboots.
And Futurama.
Without Bender though, they cannot move forward.
No,
I completely agree.
It's a totally different cast. All of them.
No John DiMaggio, no Futurama. Like just,
there's
no reason for it. Why not?
Ugh. It's like, hey, we're gonna bring back Batman the Animated Series, but no Mark Hamill. It's like, what are you doing?
It's not Kevin Conroy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And John DiMaggio played the Joker in Under the Red Hood. So
my favorite John DiMaggio performance.
Really?
Yep. Hmm.
And Red Hood was voiced by Jensen Ackles.
There it is. And Batman was voiced by Bruce Greenwood, who played Captain Pike in the Star Trek movies. So
we have gone over all of this, and this is amazing that we haven't gone over all this. It keeps circling around.
Oh man. We're gonna wrap it up here, but I'll say, you know, my second favorite Batman voice after Kevin Conroy is Bruce Greenwood.
Yes.
Because he was the voice of Batman in Young Justice as well. And in a couple other projects, I don't know exactly how many these days, but
he did Under the Red Hood and Gotham by Gaslight. And if you skip Gotham by Gaslight, fun fact, your life will not change.
Okay. I think I have that graphic novel. So no, this is the Gates of Gotham. I have Gotham by Gaslight is like Batman in Sherlock Holmes times. Right.
Yes. He's hunting Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. Jack the Ripper. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. What is fiction's obsession with Jack the Ripper?
A killer that never got caught, man. I mean, how obsessed are we with serial killer documentaries?
Yeah.
Oh, sweetie. I was Jack the Ripper.
Oh, there it is.
What did Dallas say? What did he say?
I was quoting the Dean Cain episode from Smallville. Oh, sweetie, I was Jack the Ripper.
Oh, see, that's funny because I actually was Jack the Ripper in a play once.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's even more connected.
Yeah. Wow.
It's the gift that keeps giving.
We're starting to divide by zero here. We need to get out of this, but it's way too connected here. But fun conversation. You never know where things are going to take us. JJ, where can people find you out there online if they want to find you?
You can find me at Four Comic Junkies. That's F-O-R Comic Junkies on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Also, just started a new handle at Spider-Man Books, doing a new podcast called the Spider-Man Book Club, where you can, this spring when we launch, listen to some friends and I talk about different Spider-Man comics over the years.
Awesome. What about you, Darren?
Well, you can find me online on Vero under my name, under Twitter. I have a couple of different accounts. I have my personal account at Darren_Kirscht. I have a Twitter account for my book at Snyderverse Saga. And then I also have a Twitter account for the podcast that I do, Round Two, the film sequel podcast. It's just at Round Two Podcast. I also made Facebook pages for both of those as well. And yeah, that's where you can find me. In fact, the very next episode of the podcast features somebody among us here.
Hello.
It's Dallas.
Awesome.
Yes. And
the episode is going to be most excellent.
Oh, Bill and Ted.
Yes. It's definitely not going to be Bogus.
I like Bogus Journey quite a bit, so I look forward to listening to that one. So it's got death.
Whether you're a king or a little street sweeper, sooner or later you dance with the Reaper.
There it is. On that note, Dallas, where can people find you out there?
I'm on Twitter at Dallas #Hashtagez, #Hashtagez. And then on Facebook, always lurking around the, always hold on to Smallville Facebook page. And also I am the admin of a group called Restore the Shackverse. You can also backtrack me on Twitter by searching hashtag Restore the Shackverse and Restore the Shackverse on Facebook. Because we will restore the Shackverse.
Let's make it happen. So, all right. Well, more on Zach here. UFP Earth, my other podcast, Always Marvel 1S for this one. Thank all you guys for being patrons and keeping the lights on here at Always on Smallville. And as we discussed, we have years and years and years of topics to go, books and comics and other shows like Hero. So good times here and to come. So until next time,
always hold on to Smallville.
Always Holding to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Kevante Chillis, Darren Kirscht, Joey Deanberg, JJ Hodges, DJ Duina, Nathan Rothacher, Corey Moore, Mike Franz, Thomas Navin, Andrew Parker, Adam Sullins, Mark Gates Foppen, Patricia Carrillo, Michael Hartford, Jim Crawford, Nathan McKenzie, Jason Skipper, Steve Rogers, Joe Mickendo, Tief Sheik, Molly Ficarella, John Curcio, Dylan D'Antonio, James Lee, Jonathan England, Joe Michael, Zachary Burkhalter, Jason Davis, Patrick Bravo, Jacob Stevenart, Dana Bias, Alex Ramsey, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clunk Kant, Matt B., Stephanie Ronsley, Marietta Sachi, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Goso, Erica Flynn, Jared Gibbs, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine McGilly, Keith Falls, James Hart, Melissa Brown, and Anthony Desiato. Thank you so much to all these patrons. You too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.